big news today. I was not expecting to see this one out there. Shams Charania had the Shams bomb on it. Cavs president Kobe Altman, the architect. I'm starting to read an agent tweet here. Cavs president of basketball operations, Kobe Altman, he signed a contract extension through 2029-30.
How did he describe it? The architect of what?
Of the burgeoning title contender.
All right, do you buy the descriptor?
No, that's why I stopped halfway through and like, all right, that's polish.
See, I wasn't sure if he was going to do any like, because he actually got the job in what, 2017, 2018? And so yeah. I didn't know if he was going to get credit for the finals trip, the last finals trip that LeBron went on, and then kind of ease into the current record and everything else.
I would have given him more credit for that than burgeoning title contender after getting bounced out in the second round of the playoffs. But Mike Gansey and Brandon Weems, amongst others in the Cavs front office, also receiving extensions. And I think this is the right move. This is a good move.
Well, so I'm going to read way too into this, okay? And you tell me if you think that I'm right or if I'm off base here. But if I was trying to make a big-time splash or a big-time move, wouldn't I want the security of my job? Like, you know me, when I think about this stuff, I always look at, are they safe with their job? Or are they not safe with their job? Mm-hmm. And it feels like every time an executive, and whether that's a president of basketball operations or a GM, somebody in the NBA makes a decision, it's based off of, can I keep my job after I do this? And so if you wanted to make a big time splash, wouldn't you want this security attached to it? Like, I almost see a scenario where Dan Gilbert was giving him this extension and playing with the idea that if you're going to make a big move, understand you can go for it by getting a LeBron or something else, and your job is still safe. You still have your job, and if not the job, you at least have the money attached to it. You can fail. You can take risks within the security.
So let me ask you, do you think he did this because there actually is a big move that they're going to take a swing on, or it's the hypothetical, hey, I want you to know you have security in case that opportunity comes up?
I think it's the hypothetical, but I do think it's interesting that the Cavs have been linked to LeBron over the weekend. You obviously were linked up with the Kevin Durant trade rumors. You're linked up with a couple different scenarios, and I don't know, maybe what was standing in their way of pulling the trigger in any of those other instances is Kobe saying, well, what happens if it doesn't work out and then I'm out on my ass and I don't have a job anymore? Whereas this is Gilbert saying, you got the flexibility to be able to do this.
In lieu of something very specific, I'll probably err on the side of, I think this was just, hey, look at where you've taken the franchise. Even though we haven't gotten where we wanted to, let's solidify you and the other principal pieces in place, because regardless of the changing pieces around, I think Dan is very comfortable working with Kobe. And I think that's a good sign, by the way, because I think that means Kobe has proven that if Dan does the, I'm going to be a hover parent and then I'm going to kind of disappear for a minute, that Kobe can work within that.
Well, it's a good time for Kobe in general, because Dan's now got his hand in the cookie jar in other aspects as well.
Yep.
He's bringing the WNBA team here. He's got the Cosm Sports coming. He's got all the new developments happening around the Cavs. Like, he's got, once again, he's got a lot of reasons to not just be solely focused on the basketball team 24/7.
I just kind of think it's fascinating that I think this is the first GM to get a contract extension, if I'm correct here, since, is it Wayne Embry? I mean, I'm trying to think.
Well, this is his third extension.
That's what I meant. Was like, you didn't just get the first extension. You got another extension here. And I think that's, I just think that's cool. Like, to me, that means Dan likes and trusts Kobe. And I still don't know. Like, listen, we're so, I don't want to say so early into it, because the guy's had a job for 8 years. But there's still so much about Kobe's legacy that is to be written over the next couple years that I still don't know entirely, is he a good GM or is he a great GM? I like the chance that I like the fact that even though I don't agree with everything Kobe does, I like the fact that there's an acknowledgement here of these guys have led us where we are, and we're gonna reward that, and we're gonna let them see this out, because I think that's the only way you could really screw this up is if we went from, all right, well, JB was on the hot seat, he didn't get it done, now we got a new coach, now it's the GM's turn. No. You've got some consistency here. You've got some, you know, we're a little solid here. Let's see where that continuity can go in terms of growing this team.
I mean, I can't overstate enough how impressed I am with the ability of Kobe Altman to take this from what's supposed to be a basketball wasteland after LeBron James and have this team to not only a one seed last year, but in the driver's seat to be a contender. Like, that's a really hard thing to accomplish. You lose LeBron James, you're supposed to just suck for a long time. This is supposed to be a really bad stretch of basketball, but he drafted Darius. He was able to draft Evan Mobley. He made the big trade for Donovan. He got Jared Allen at the right time. Like, he's done a lot of wizardry when it comes to piecing this thing back together.
And he hasn't been perfect. Obviously, the neglect of the wings. And okay, we need to go back and look at that Isaac Okoro draft. There was, you weren't drafting Tyrese Halliburton. That was not a great draft. Maybe a Devin Vassell would have been a game changer for you, even though he's still mostly been on bad teams. But I think the good outweighs the bad. And you look at it, all four of your best players, all four of your all-stars have been acquired by Kobe. And by the way, Jared Allen was acquired with an asset that you got in the ashes of LeBron leaving. Donovan was acquired with one of the assets, Colin Sexton, that you got for Kyrie. So that deal lives on. Evan, obviously, you got, there's a little bit of luck there because it was either going to be Evan or Jalen Green, depending on where Houston went. But you drafted the right guy. You didn't get cute with it. Even Darius. Like, I remember the first four, that Darius draft, the first four guys off the board were pretty set in stone. Mm-hmm. And the last one being DeAndre Hunter went fourth.
We were having knock-em-out, drag-em-out fights on this station the day of. People were debating who to take.
Even though some of the concern with Darius, undersized point guard, injury risk, even though that's bore fruit into the NBA, yeah, he took him, and Darius has developed into just a hell of a basketball player.
Well, I heard an NBA pod the other day debating whether or not Darius is the best player out of that draft. That was the Zion and Ja draft.
And so I look at this, and I look at what, and it really is, like, it's so funny because we're so, especially with the news of the Quinshon stuff, or the news of any of the stuff we've gotten, it's very easy to get very cynical. When I saw this news, I just said, listen, I don't agree with the direction that Kobe's taken. I think he's being safe and a little too precious here. But I'm willing to be wrong about that, as I was last year when I was like, hey, if you can get value for Darius, trade him. He couldn't get value for Darius. They brought him back and they won 64 games and, you know, were the one seed until they got knocked off. Like, you can't ignore the body of work, even if there are things you can look at and go, well, I don't like that and I don't like that.
Yeah, and what's interesting now is I'm thinking about the people in town, not to take us too far away from this for a second, but like, you have Antonetti and Chernoff that have been in their roles for 20 years, and then you have Andrew Berry, who's been on 6 years, and now, I mean, with this, with Kobe, that's 8 years running, and throughout the contract duration would be 13 years. I got a lot of people that have been in place for a long time, but there's a lot of trust right now in Kobe Altman, and I think that's what Dan is trying to tell you.
I think that's what's... Okay, so like the Browns are in a really, really, really rough spot here. I'm just talking about, like, you're coming off 3-14. The Deshaun thing has been decided as the worst trade in NFL history. There's a lot of ambiguity in what this season's going to be. But if you look at the five seasons that these guys have been here, they haven't had enough success, but they have had more than, you know, what other people have said. I know we're in the midst of bother about Antonetti and Chernoff and the status of this offense. You look at what these guys have accomplished. It's a very nice era of Guardians baseball. And same thing with Kobe. From his linkage to the second LeBron years and being the GM for the last year of that to rebuilding. Like, this is why when there are moments to completely melt down, I tend not to, because I'm like, a baseball team I can trust every other year to be good. Kobe's got this on lock, and Dan seems to have simmered down as an owner. And all right, you're not as in dire of a situation with the Browns as you were when these guys took over.
No, it's interesting just to think about. And maybe this changes with Andrew Berry down the line, but like, at least from the basketball and baseball perspective, like, the two of them seem pretty solidified. But this is a good thing for Kobe Altman. I think it's a good thing for Cavs fans to just look and see that not only can he rebuild it from nothing if you end up in that spot 2 years from now where you have all sorts of contract problems, and because especially the way the NBA is now where they're constantly telling you to take it down to the studs and build it back up. But he can do it. He can pull it off.
Well, I think what's interesting is if tomorrow the Guardians announced Chernetti were getting contract extensions, there would be people who are really frustrated because of the status of where the Guardians are.
Yeah.
If Andrew Barrett got a contract extension tomorrow,
a lot of frustration there, too.
Would, I think that might be putting it mildly.
Yeah.
Because people want this to
be. We'd be confused. Where did this come from?
But this is where you got to give Kobe credit. Because the Cavs are in a spot where even though I don't think anyone should be content with the playoffs, and I don't know anyone has to be content with not changing anything and the margin stuff, the reality is Cavs this is the most stable stretch of Cavs basketball without LeBron James since Mike Fratello was fired. And that includes, since LeBron left the first time, that includes where you had three head coaches in 3 years, right? That includes, you know, kind of the pre-LeBron years where we're taking Senegalese centers who have never played, and it's a huge risk there with the seventh pick. Like, this is, I have qualms with him, but there's a part of me that's like, you've stabilized this thing in a way that a lot of other people tried to outside of LeBron and haven't been able to. That is a very good step for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
And maybe this is what ultimately Haslam's looking at when he thinks about Andrew Berry. Because think about it. There's been multiple times within Kobe Altman having this job where people have called for his head. And like very aggressively so. I remember thinking 3 years in, it was right around the John Beilein disaster. I remember thinking there's no way he escapes out of this.
Yeah.
Like there was this very little chance that he could not only escape it, but then also be able to turn it around. And then and at that point, we had so many different people writing about him being fired and potentially being gone. And for him to just bounce back the way that he has. Like, it's really been impressive. And now, obviously, he gets the extension today, and he's going nowhere. But he turned that thing around. It was an absolute zero for a stretch there with Kobe Altman, and everything was a battle. It didn't seem like he knew what he was doing. So now it seems like he for sure knows what he's doing, and he fixed it right.
In the NFL, we very rarely have this narrative. In Major League Baseball, we very rarely have this narrative. In the NBA, all the time, there are guys fired that it just doesn't make sense. It was an impetuous owner. It was a guy set up to fail. Of course he failed.
Oh, to get Joe Dumars in place.
No, exactly. Where what I think is great about this is I don't know if Kobe's going to stick the landing with his team. I don't know we're going to win a championship in the next 2 to 3 years. It feels farther away from that after the Pacers series this year than it did maybe a year before when he got bounced out by Boston. So there is a big I don't know. It's still tough to see the forest from the trees. What I do know is that Kobe and his, I almost called him acolytes, his lieutenants deserve the opportunity to see this through. And so what I really hope this means is in a year's time, if we're sitting on the precipice of another disappointing playoff exit, then we're not just paying Kobe Altman 4 years to just chill at home and just be like a house dad. Like I hope this really is what it looks like, which is Dan Gilbert saying, all right, you've gotten us here. I'm going to give you a long time to figure this out. Because even if 3 years go by and you've topped out in the conference finals, it'll still be the most consequential LeBron non-LeBron run in Cavs history. When you stack them back to back, it will have surpassed the Lenny Wilkins, Wayne Embry Cavs.
When you talk about the time, though, with extension, that's the important part here, because he can take a big time swing if he wants now and live through the repercussions of it, or he can just say, "I'm right about this setup. You guys think it's a puzzle piece that doesn't fit all together, right? But I'm right about this, and I want to see this thing through." It just gives him a lot of flexibility. Now, are you reading anything into the Brandon Weems side of this at all?
Because of the LeBron stuff?
Yeah.
No. If he
people
was the,
want oh, to.
If he, well,
people
of course,
want to.
Of course, we want LeBron back, and we want him to take a
LeBron's
buyout.
Already tweeted out about it. LeBron's excited.
Yeah, people are taking that as shade at Kobe, and it's like, no, Brandon's this guy. Like, what are we doing here? He's not trying to get Brandon as the GM. An extension. Everybody got an extension. It's a good thing.
Did we not see the tweet? He got the extension. he got his job secure. It's okay.
How much belief do you have in Kobe Altman as he and his top lieutenants received contract extension? The Guardians might have already changed the game for you. They might have given you what you want. This might be a little early in the game, but that's coming up in 5 minutes with Justin Latta, Locked On Guardians on 92.3 The Fan.